Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, February the 13th, 2011.
Well, let's stand together and begin our service singing tonight. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, higher ground. Sing with me.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay, though some may dwell where these abound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
Use me, fill me, Part of my daily devotional is the book of Psalms. And this song is from the 91st Psalm, taking verses 1, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11, and 12. And it's entitled, He That Dwelleth in the Secret Place of the Most High.
In their hands, lest thou die. against a stone, against a thorn.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Thank you, Mike. We'll ask the men to come at this time. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we pray that you'll use this offering to your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. I haven't heard that song in quite a while. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Let's sing a couple of, or three more songs tonight as we, I think, are we doing testimonies tonight, Pastor, in a few minutes? Okay, so opportunity for you maybe to share a little something about what God's doing in your life here in a minute. I taught you a course a few months ago, a friend of God, who am I that you're mindful of me? And we'll sing that together first.
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call?
Is it true?
Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God.
Mike's back with the crowd in the back, and I thought that I'd just tell you we're going to have to get a bigger bus. We've got about 40 or more signed up at this point in time, going to go to prison, and so that's going to be I think a neat opportunity and something we can think about and we can pray. And because you don't get to go on the trip and have all of the fun, you can stay here, and I think we're going to try and organize some prayer support for that group so that as a group here, we'll be praying for these folks that are out there on the front lines having this experience. So I think it's going to be neat. And I was told someone tonight, I don't think I ever thought of Awana like that before. I mean, it's just, you know, I had this stereotype in my mind, and, you know, it just really altered my perspective on all of that. So I think it's something we're going to be thinking about and praying. You know, I've got some microphones. Tim has graciously volunteered. Aaron, oh no. And your multimedia shirt, Aaron, you know, that is communication, just in 3D. I think we all want glasses to look at it, Aaron. But anyway, and so what I'm thinking is it may be that this past week you had an opportunity, and it wasn't a big deal. just something small that the Lord gave you an opportunity to get out of your comfort zone and do something. And if that happened, great. If not, that's great too. We just keep waiting on the Lord. Okay, we have a volunteer right here.
I've really been out of my comfort zone for a few months as I've been going downtown every Wednesday night and picking up a girl named Dusty. I think some of you may have met her. I brought her, had an opportunity to bring her when we've had meals on Wednesday nights and so on, and introduced her around with her new baby. But you want to talk about getting out of your comfort zone. Every Wednesday night, I am like in shock by the time I get here when I hear what she tells me about her life. And what's so neat is that she has the opportunity to come here at Grace Baptist Church and be taught by some really special ladies in the grandma's house. So just a great opportunity, and continue to pray for Dusty.
Okay. Okay. Yes, over here. Bobby.
Well, Don and I have been praying about what we want, what the Lord would have us do. And I was thinking something along the line of stopping on the side of the road and Don getting out and changing a tire. You know, that would have been something. But we saw the video about Angola, and the Lord was speaking to our hearts. And Judy said it was $379, and so for two people to go, that's like almost $800. And we said, nah, we can't do that. So we're driving home from church this morning, and the Holy Spirit said to me, you and Don could go if you didn't get that big screen TV you were going to get with your tax refund. And then he said, if you say it out loud, you can't take it back. So I said it out loud, and we're going to Angola.
Okay, Don, do you want to have a rebuttal on any of this?
I'd go to Phil's house with a big screen TV.
Ah, there it is.
This week, because of what's going on in Egypt, I was at the Y, and I was in the place where we fix our hair and get ready to go out to see the world. And there was an older lady standing next to me, and she said, if you could go on a vacation, where would your favorite place be? And I said, Israel. And she said, well, that's where we were going to go, and they canceled our trip. So she said, can you think of any other place? And of course, we were talking. And anyway, in the conversation on the other side of me, there was a young girl who I could tell was foreign. And because we were talking about Israel and Egypt and a little bit of what was going on, it piqued her interest, I guess. And when we got through talking, then this young girl looked at us and she shared her life. She was from Cambodia, and they had been kicked out of the country. Her parents had been kicked out of the country years ago when there was a revolution there. And I tell you, it was a sad, sad story. But she had come to the United States. She was in the service and was in San Antonio and met her husband there, and they married. And he retired from the service, and he was from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Because I said to her, well, what brought you to Chattanooga? And so we chatted a little bit, and the Lord had just really impressed my heart that maybe I could have an opportunity to share the Word of God with her. And I happened to have a New Testament Pocket League brochure, you know, the Book of John, in my purse that was laying right there. And it had a picture, because I had prayed, Lord, let me share this with someone. And it had a picture of a jet flying. And so it looked kind of military to me. And I said, would you be willing to take this? And I said, it's about your future. And she said, sure. Now, that's the way I left it. Her name is Francesca. So if you'll pray that she reads that book. I don't know where she is spiritually, but I was so excited to have that opportunity.
Ed's right behind you. Will you pray for Francesca, please?
Father, I do pray for this young lady that was given this Gospel of John. I pray, Lord, that she reads it, that the Holy Spirit will help her to understand it, and she'll use it to bring conviction to her heart of her need of a Savior. Thank you for people who are willing to share your gospel with others around them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, yes.
Bill and I have had an interesting opportunity this week and next week probably. He found out one of his coworkers is temporarily homeless because he's in an abusive relationship. And it's just a really bad situation. So Bill called me Wednesday and said, I'm bringing one of my coworkers home to spend the week with us in about an hour and a half. And just pray that we'll know what to say and how to talk to him. He's really already opened up to me a lot, talked about how he's been saved, but I could tell it was a very unfamiliar term to him. He didn't know what that meant, and I don't think he's lived it out, and he's really had a hard life. Well, so pray for Britt, B-R-I-T-T.
Bill, would you pray for Britt?
Our Heavenly Father, we pray for this young man. We pray they'd have an opportunity to share the gospel with him and also to demonstrate the truth of the Christian life and how it can change and how it can remold him. Pray that you'd bless them, give them wisdom, give them the words to say. We pray that he'd be open to them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay.
I guess we're all in a row. My mother had something unusual happen to her yesterday, and she shared it with the Sunday school class. Yesterday, we had a Sunday school activity out at Greenbrier or whatever. Anyway, for the young couples in our church, 55 and above, and I was driving a bus, and they were going to come to the bus. Well, my mother was going to come. My mother, if you don't know, is 92, and she's still wheeling all over town. She was driving her car up Lee Highway and up toward 153, and right in front of the Taco Bell area, just quit. And she couldn't even get out because the doors locked on her when she was coming up that hill. It just got ground to a stop. And so she just sat there in the middle, and all of a sudden, a young black man got out of an old truck behind her, ran up beside her, and said, "Are you all right?" And she said, "Fine, you know, through the window, I can't get out." And he figured a way to get the door open and get the window so he could get her out. And she said, "Well, what's wrong?" And she said, "My car won't move." So he says, "Well, I've got a whole crew of people with me, and we'll move your car up on that hill. If you know that hill's coming up toward Taco Bell there," he and a whole crew of young fellas got out and pushed her car up onto the Taco Bell parking lot and parked her up there. And he says, "Well, can I take you anywhere?" And she said, "Yes, I'm going to church down, and we've got an activity, and I'm going to ride a bus to it." He said, "Well, let me just take you down there." And she said, "Well, I have to pick other people up on the way." So he said, "Fine." So he told the rest of his crew to go on, and they were going somewhere to Kate or something. Anyway, so he took her to Creekside and picked up Gene Coonert. Well, I'm standing at the bus here at Grace, and all of a sudden this rickety old truck pulls in, and I look in the passenger side, and there's Gene Coonert sitting in there, and I'm looking in there. And then I look in, and then I look down the row, and there's my mother sitting in there, and they're all cramped in this little truck. Jean Cooner says she still doesn't know how she got into the truck, because it was way up in the air. So this guy gets out, and he runs around to the side, and he opens up the door, and he gets both of these women out of this old truck, and he begins hugging them. And my mother said to him, can I pay you something for doing that?" He said, "What are you trying to take my blessing?" They just stood there really shocked, and we just told him how much we appreciated, and he was a Christian young man and was out there doing the stuff that we're supposed to do.
Wow, that's good. Okay, that's neat. Okay, the good Tom.
Thanks for that introduction, Doc. I appreciate that. I guess the Lord has given me the ability to either, you know, some people are given construction skills. Mine more relate to destruction or moving something. So every time that there is a container to be packed, like missionaries or something, I'm usually invited to do that, which has been a tremendous blessing. And Mark Mowry told me about a month ago, I guess he mentioned this, the couple that was here this morning, a Liberian couple, is moving back to Liberia. Is it March 19th that the thing is being loaded? March 11th. Glad you told me that. But in any event, I've had an opportunity this week to go over there a couple of times, yesterday morning and Tuesday night, just to look at this. And it's you always end up receiving a blessing even when you're doing work like that. And they are, I've known them all for probably about 5 hours, and both were removed from, essentially had to flee Liberia. I remember the pastor that was here, has it been 4, 5, maybe 6 years ago or 7 years ago? He owned a newspaper in the capital city, the gentleman that was here this morning, and her former husband was a general in the Liberian army, and he was murdered. And the gentleman that was here this morning met her at a funeral here in Chattanooga, and it turned out, I was thinking about the way Lord works things out, they met at a funeral, and they realized that they were high school classmates in Liberia. And I guess eventually he said something to the effect that since we have known each other for a long time and we've become reacquainted, we might as well get married and live our remaining, years that the Lord has given us together. And so there's this wonderful married couple. And, you feel like you've known them forever. They've been, I've known them for like 5 hours. And so in any event, on March 11th, if anyone can help, we're loading this 40-foot container, including a car and all of their household possessions in this container, and your help would be appreciated. But it's been a huge blessing to me this week.
Okay, good. That's March the 11th?
That's what Mark said.
Okay. Well, we'll try and someone remind me tomorrow, and we'll write that down and see if we can't... Okay. All right, so you've got it under control. Good. Okay, yes, Brent.
Thanks. Well, Mark Mowry talked to me, too, just before Christmas about a project that the church had decided on that perhaps they'd help us get some Bibles, for the Farsi Bibles, whole Bibles, into Iran, Afghanistan. He said, "How much do you think?" I said, "Well, I don't know. That's church." But we decided maybe $5,000 would be a good round sum. And I'm here to thank all of you for your participation. I don't know exactly how much it is, but I think it's about 2.5 to 3 times more than what we expected. So I thank you very much. The plan is they will be provided. And in April, I'll be in Europe, and we'll have some strategy and discuss together with the others how we can the routes to get these into Iran. It's the routes always have to change. There's always the problems that strategy has to be carefully planned. So pray for that. Thank you for the Bibles. We'll have, God willing, all that we need, and then we need to get those in. So the routes, thank you.
Well, that's a great opportunity, isn't it? Okay, Dave Wingate back here. Here's your microphone.
About 3 weeks ago now, about 2:30 in the morning, I notified one of my nurses I was having a strange pain in my side chest, and she came, and just as quick as I said that, she rushed, and in about a minute and a half, I had 9 nurses around my bed, 8 women and 1 man, x-ray machines, EKG, all kinds of things, hypodermic needles and all of that. And this lasted for about 30 or 40 minutes. I didn't know what was going on. And they were as frightened as I believe. But this is after my heart surgery is over, and I was essentially well of that. But this is after the lung problem came along. But anyway, the thought came to me, which I've thought about much in recent weeks. The great purpose of life is not that we stay alive, but that whether by life or by death, we magnify the one who created us, who died for us,
and who lives again forevermore as Lord over all, Jesus Christ. And the other thought along with that, he is not poor nor much enticed who loses everything but Christ. I wasn't all that frightened. Matter of fact, I sort of said, Lord, this could be it. This could be it. But it turned out after, 30, 40, 45 minutes, it subsided, and I was still there in the hospital another 10 or 15 days. But I guess that was the closest to a scare and maybe the closest to what I might call a God sighting while I was in the hospital. I'll tell you now, for my situation, to have a valve replaced and a bypass is not as bad as infected lungs. It took me longer to get over the lung problem than it did to get over the heart problem. And it worked out fine. I sincerely thank all of you for those cards and notes and visits and certainly your prayers. And God was good to me. And I'm on the way up. I told you this morning, some of them, I'm half strength. I think I'm about 55% tonight. Praise be to the Lord.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? All right, all the way in the Netherlands of the balcony. Yes. Elise.
Okay, I have two quick ones. Last night I was sitting at Panera doing some studying or trying to study and overheard a young couple who was sitting next to me talking, and the guy made a comment. He said, preachers, he said, they're just salesmen who work two times a week. And I thought, oh my, I don't know if I want to get involved in that conversation. That would be an interesting one. Well, lo and behold, the girl he was with dropped her salad all over the floor and busted the plate and every dish and everything. And through that, God opened a door for me to have an opportunity to talk to the two of them and in a roundabout way to talk to them about their faith. So at this moment, they are both not believers, but had some really great conversations. So I'd ask you to pray for Megan and Ryan. They will be getting married this summer. So both of them, one, he is just very much a factual kind of guy and really has a hard time grasping that step of faith. And then she, I think just because of past experiences with church and different things, has a hard time accepting religion in a sense. So just Megan and Ryan are their names. And then also just to encourage you as far as what's happening on our college campuses, down at UTC, I've had the opportunity to be a part of Campus Crusade for Christ. And this beginning of school, that first week, we had an illusionist come to do kind of an outreach for us. And this was supposed to happen 3 years ago. And due to some circumstances with the death of his coworker, they were not able to have it. So they planned on having it this year. The week we were supposed to do promotional stuff, it snowed the entire time. So we had 2 days to do promotional stuff. The main guy got sick. They thought they were going to have to cancel it. So we're like, okay, God, but we're just going to trust you with this. He ended up coming. We were hoping for 500 people. And in the end, there was a buzz on campus about everybody wanting to come to this event. They ended up doing an overflow auditorium of 300 people. And that night, we had about 900 to 1,000 students who were able to hear the gospel. And 79 people accepted Christ.
Wow.
So, So if we can continue to pray for the follow-up with that, there were about 230 or so students who were interested in hearing more about what he talked about that night. So there's continued follow-up and opportunities. So just pray. God's doing some great, amazing things in our city and on our campuses.
Well, give that microphone to Mike Brown. Mike, will you pray for Megan and her fiancé?
Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to at least had and pray for this couple, Lord, that you would just speak to their hearts with the gospel and the things that Elise said. And I pray, Lord, that they would trust you as their Savior and grow and learn to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Yes, Mark?
I've had the opportunity last week to go down and participate in the tutoring of inner city kids with the ministry of the Y called YCAP. And first night came home and I had a new appreciation for what my wife does, because I had fourth and fifth graders, and It was difficult. Not what they were doing, but they had energy for anything and everything but their math worksheet. And there was two of the adult people and seven or eight of them, and I thought, man, this sure would be a whole lot easier if it was one-on-one and not us against the whole world, because they knew every button to push to sort of distract each other. And I would just offer this as an opportunity for anyone that is interested. They need help on Monday and Thursdays from 4 to 5. I hate to tell you, I'm a math major, and I actually forgot how to convert mixed numbers to improper fractions, but I rectified that quickly. They'll tell you if you tell them wrong. They actually are pretty sharp kids. They just get distracted, and you just have to help them keep focus. It's a wonderful ministry opportunity. There are going to be some other opportunities involving YCAP. They raise a garden that helps feed one of the Orange Grove homes for the severely disabled. So we're going to have an opportunity for our garden people, whoever you may be, to do some work sometime this spring as far as helping them cultivate and grow and plant their garden. So it's a wonderful opportunity for us to reach into the lives of some young, in this case, young men who are really at risk. They're either referred to YCAP through the court system or through their schools. So it's an opportunity for us to display the love of Christ to them.
We'll try to get some of these opportunities in a box score on the bulletin so that you can see these things on a weekly basis with contact numbers, so you know who you can contact in the church to get involved with that. What kind of fractions, or what were you converting? I missed that. Improper fractions. Okay, I have no clue. It's been much too long. Precisely. Anyone else? Aaron.
Okay, well, I'm still at the Hope Line working there. It's awesome. You see all kinds of stuff happening every night. You know, it's trouble. It's a helpline for troubled teens, and we get to share the gospel. And, you know, ever so often, you know, you get into a really good spiritual conversation. And I had one, two Sundays ago or something with a kid named Jacob. And I think he had called in earlier in the night and maybe got cut off because he didn't want us calling him back. And he called in and he's like, man, parents are going to send me away to military school because I'm just so horrible and I'm just, you know, rotten and I can't stand myself. And he was into self-injury and so forth, which is something that teens do to kind of escape pain it's a strange thing. And a lot of us don't understand it, but he's just really struggling with life and everything. And so I was able to start sharing the gospel with him, and he had never heard it quite put, you know, the particular way that some of us shared and so forth. And in the middle of the presentation, the phone cut off. I was like, no, he doesn't want me calling him back. So didn't call him back. Well, I could see his number back in the queue, and I said, okay. Well, so I alerted the person who has control over that to send it back to me. Well, it went to my voicemail because I wasn't in the ready status. I'm like, ah! So then I saw him get back in the queue, so I'm like, well, I guess he wants to talk. So so we got back linked up, and so we jumped right back in the conversation, and I was like, you know, you remind me of one of my friends. And I was just able to share share my friend's testimony with him, and just the transforming power of before Christ and, you know, after Christ. I was like, so this is something you can do tonight. You can do it, you know, whatever. He's like, yeah, I think I'd like to do it right now. So, he accepted Christ, and we always, you know, send like follow up materials so they're not just totally lost. And so that's really exciting. So, really neat stuff. If you could continue to pray for the Hope Line, we've upgraded our software and so forth, and we can now actually take chats from anywhere in the world. It can actually translate from whatever language. I think there's about 70 different languages and they can it can translate into English and English into that language, and it's a learning software. So, you know, like if we were to say something that it didn't understand, eventually over time, you know, I guess it sends it to someone and they figure out how to translate it to that language. And so I think we had a chat from maybe the Netherlands this past week, and I think, I can't remember, but somewhere on the other side of the world. And so it's really neat, and it's actually set up now to where anyone who wants to volunteer can actually take it from home, so take chats from home if you've got internet in the training. So it's just something to think about.
Good opportunities. Want to just touch base with you about a couple things. We started out when we were talking about who's your neighbor, and we were talking specifically about a couple of different issues with Barnabas and others. Before we do that, let's ask the Lord to give us direction. Father, as we spend this brief time in your word and we think about your word, Father, help us to respond in obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So a week ago, we followed those eight segments in Barnabas' life. And the reason we started with Barnabas is there was a problem in the church in Jerusalem, and Barnabas happened to connect with that situation, and there was a need, and as such there were people had shortages and they didn't have enough to eat, they needed shelter. There was just a whole array of things that were all part and parcel of that situation, and so Barnabas was just one person. There were many, 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 many others that responded, and there were other people that from all over the Mediterranean basin that sent offerings to the church in Jerusalem and the needs that they had. But Barnabas responded, and it's just interesting that Barnabas started out and he did what he could. He had some land; he was able to sell it. Who knows if he'd already sold it and had the money, or just what it was, but in that context, Barnabas made an offering to help. And for all intents and purposes, you look at that situation and you think, well, that's the end of Barnabas. You know, it was a great story, but, you know, what else is going to happen? Well, there were seven more vignettes in the book of Acts that talked about Barnabas. And so Barnabas apparently ministered in the church of Jerusalem. And so then there were needs in the church in Jerusalem for someone to investigate stuff that's going on in Antioch. And so in Acts chapter 10, well, before that happened, Paul comes in, Saul, and he's somewhat of a rebel, and nobody's willing to take a chance on him. And Barnabas is the person that goes and interviews him and finds out what's happening and talks to him and convinces the rest of the disciples that he's for real. And so he has that ministry in Paul's life. And then Paul is sent to back to his hometown area of Tarsus, which is almost 400 miles away. And so that's a long walk, you know, in anybody's book. So he has that journey. And in the meantime, there's an opportunity at the church at Antioch. Nobody knows what's going on. And the believers that had been persecuted from Jerusalem, that went everywhere sharing the word and everything, one of the places they landed was Antioch. And in Antioch, there were needs. And so the church of Jerusalem said, well, we need somebody that's willing to go and make the trip and go and be an encouragement to these believers and everything. And so so that's exactly what Barnabas does. And so then you move from there, and Barnabas sees the needs in Antioch and says, well, you know, I know just who could really be helpful in this. And he thinks about Paul. And so he's walked 300 miles to get to Antioch. So then he walks another 160 round trip to get to Paul, convince Paul this is a good thing for him. Paul comes back with him. They minister there at the church at Antioch. And in the midst of all of that ministry, you know, the question comes, well, what can we do about Jerusalem? And so these believers pool their resources and they come up with a gift that they want to give to the church at Jerusalem. So what do? They take Paul and they take Barnabas, and John Mark actually ends up going with them and being involved in that ministry, carrying this ministry out. And then from there, the church at Antioch says, okay, we want some people to go up into Asia Minor and so forth. And so that's what they did. And so a wonderful ministry. They come back, they report, and then the church says, you know, there's some problems theologically at the church at Jerusalem. So who better to send but Paul and Barnabas? And they go to the first consul in Acts chapter 15. And then you remember where we left it, you know, a week ago Sunday. You know, Paul says to Barnabas, let's go back. And Barnabas says, that's a great idea. And John Mark, he says, let's take John Mark. And Paul says, no, that's not a good idea. And there's a falling out. So Barnabas really, for all intents and purposes, falls completely off the end of the table. We don't know anything more really about Barnabas. What we know is that Paul's ministry and everything transpired. And of course, Luke chronicled all of that. But there are a couple little snippets in the New Testament that tell us something about what happened to John Mark, because over in Colossians he's mentioned, of course, he's and it may be that the reason that Barnabas was so concerned about him was because of a relationship that he had to John Mark. But the rest of the story is brought to us in 2 Timothy 4, where Paul says to Timothy, he says, and oh, by the way, when you're bringing these things and these people and everything, he said, bring me John Mark. He'd be profitable to me in ministry. And so the attitude has gone completely full circle. But what I want you to see is I want you to see that Barnabas made a decision of obedience, had no clue where it was going to take him. And, you know, years later, I'm sure he looks back and says, wow, how did that all happen? And that's the way obedience works in your life and in my life. We take a step, and we don't see where that thing's going to head. We don't know how it's going to move. We don't know what God's going to do with it. And then we wake up years later, and we say, wow, I had no idea that that's what God had in mind. Now, if God told us everything that was going to do with us, then we might be tempted to say, nah, that's too much pizza. You know, I'm just going to roll over and pass this one by, you know, from that standpoint. I'm sure that if someone had said to Paul, oh, by the way, you know, you're going to get bit by a snake and you're going to have the fire beat out of you on several different occasions. You're going to spend nights in jail. You're going to go through shipwreck. I think if somebody had chronicled all that to Paul, Paul might have said, you know, there's someone else that's better for this. I'm not near young enough for this kind of hazardous duty. But you see, obedience carries with it its own rewards. And the rewards of obedience in Paul and Barnabas's life were just absolutely evident in terms of what the Lord did with them in their lives. Okay, that's Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 5. Now, you remember that I think it was about 1200, 1300 AD, you begin to get chapter divisions, verse divisions in the Bible. So if you looked at these manuscripts in the first century to see how Luke had recorded these things, you probably wouldn't see Acts chapter 5. There wouldn't even be there, okay? And so this context just flows. So you got Barnabas on the one hand, and then you get into Acts chapter 5, and you've got Ananias and Sapphira. And that was just an incredible, incredible story. And you remember in the story of Ananias and Sapphira, they responded just like Barnabas responded. But something happened in their response. And what happened in their response is as they're looking at this thing, there was some sin that had kind of creeped into their heart. You see, they didn't have to give it all. They didn't have to give any. But somewhere in the thinking of Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to promote themselves. There was a sense in which they held on to these possessions maybe a little tighter than God wanted them to hold on to these possessions. And then as you go further in Acts chapter 5, you find out they lied to God. They lied to the Holy Spirit. And of course, what the tragedy of what happened in that situation was, because of their disobedience, the Lord took them home prematurely to glory. And so here you have these two, this family, this husband and wife that made a poor decision, and the apostles were careful to interrogate Sapphira in a thoroughgoing fashion to see if she was in complete cahoots with her husband. And it was very, very clear from the text that she was in absolute cahoots with him in this whole thing. Now, the issue is you've got this great opportunity and God's looking at hearts. And that's emphasized over and over again in the first 9-10 verses of Acts chapter 5. God's looking at hearts. The phrase is used 2 or 3 different times through that passage. Why did you allow Satan to put this into your heart, to make this choice, to make this decision? God's looking at hearts. You remember when Samuel had his dialogue with the Lord about the selection of the new king, and he had, in his mind, he thought that maybe one of David's older brothers was a better choice, and the Lord says, I have refused him. You remember why the Lord refused him? He said, don't look at the height of his stature. In other words, don't look for the most athletic guy. He says, don't look for the most attractive persons or his countenance because I have refused him. He said, God doesn't judge the way man judges. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And you know, God looked at Ananias and Sapphira's heart. God looked at Barnabas' heart. And God looking at your heart too. In mine. Now that's just a little bit nerve-wracking, isn't it? That God sees that deeply and he doesn't just gloss over these things. For years and years now, I've taught Senior Bible, and one of the things we do is we do the topical memory system, about 52 verses, and I think that they're key verses that, you know, everybody ought to know. And in the early years, we had a lot of kids that came through Awana that were in our school. And so these verses were nothing to them. I mean, you know, they nailed them without any trouble whatsoever. But now there's not as many people that have gone through Awana, and 52 verses is a holy nightmare for many of them. And I'm grading these verses. And the other thing is that I memorize in King James, King Jimmy, because that's what I've done, you know. And if I try to memorize in something else, now there's a few references, you know, there's several in like Romans 12:1-2 and the NIV, and also in the Phillips translation. Those translations really stick in my mind. And in Jeremiah, you know, in 29 and so forth, those verses really stick in my mind. But I understand that, you know, the kids want to memorize in things other than King James, and I'm just happy they're in the Word, okay? And so that's not a problem to me. I know that's semi-heresy in many places. But I grade these verse quizzes, and, you know, man, I miss a word here, miss a word there, you know, something like that. And I show great grace when I'm grading those verse quizzes. I mean, they get it basically right, I'm going to live with it, okay? I'm just not going to fall on my sword for the these and the thous and one or two other sorts of things along the way. But God doesn't grade on the curve. He's looking at your heart. And just to appear right isn't good enough for God. You gotta be right. Now we're all gonna have, I know that the heart is deceitful above everything and desperately wicked. Who in the world can know it, right? We understand that. But Ananias and Sapphira, they crossed the line on something that shouldn't have made a lick of difference to them. Nobody would have thought the less of them or the more of them because they did what they did. It was something that the pride in their heart had essentially executed them. And you got to just look and you got to wonder about those things. So what's the difference between a Barnabas that we remember his ministry and who Barnabas was and all the stuff he did, and how God used him for years and years and years, and the implementation in the New Testament church, you know, just unbelievable stuff, you know, from that standpoint. You think about Barnabas, and then you think about Ananias and Sapphira, and how we think about Ananias and Sapphira. We think about them as the great illustration of their willingness to lie to God and to lie to the Holy Spirit. Interestingly enough, when I had to take theology classes in school, we always studied the personality of the Holy Spirit, and we're living in a day and time where people try to make the Holy Spirit out to be some kind of an influence, and you know, you've got all these Star Wars things that talk about the forces with us and things like that and everything, but you don't confuse that with God the Holy Spirit, because God as a person and the Holy Spirit as a person can be lied to, according to Acts chapter 5. Great, great theology. So what did that do for the church? Apparently it was a shot in the arm. And what you see is you saw a group of people that cared about the gospel and they cared for each other. I don't know about you, but when I was watching that video this morning, you know, I was wiping some tears away and I was sniffling a little bit about this and that, and all of a sudden it dawned on me I wasn't by myself. There were lots of you that were motivated by that because you saw a caring community in action, and you saw it in a place you never thought you'd ever see it. The Angola prison has been notorious for years, but the notoriousness of that prison is going to be entirely different in the days to come. And it's different because of some Barnabases who, even though they're incarcerated and even though they've made terrible, terrible mistakes, God's forgiven them and given them a ministry that probably none of us could ever have, or we would hope would not have. What a great blessing that is. Well, we got a lot of things to think about, a lot of things to pray about. And so this week, you're going to have to keep your eyes open. You know, you never know when you're going to bump into some gals like Camilla's bumped into, and you're never going to know when you might have your car die and someone might be a blessing to you, or you might see someone with a dead car and you might be able to be a blessing to them. Or you may see somebody that's got some needs, or you may hear about a neighbor that's got some needs. The beauty of all of this is I can't tell you where to look. That's up to God, the Holy Spirit. And trust me, if you say, Lord, show me, He will. Amen? Father, for your word, we thank you. Help us to obey. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.